Greetings of love. In the name of Christ, from Fountain County, Indiana. I was sitting here this morning. I can never come to this church house without a lot of memories. My wife asked me this morning, are you going to have a session of reminiscing? And I could. I would have a lot to tell you. And some of you know about that. Having grown up here from the age of 8, having married here, joined the church here, baptized right here. And, you know, it can be sort of a little hallowed spot for me because of knowing how big a part it has had in my life. And I don't know if I should say it this way or not, but I have somewhat looked forward to speaking to you because of God working in our lives and allowing us to be a part of His kingdom in many ways beyond the point of being a minister and remembering many, many messages, many prayers that have been offered here. And this has been a place, a temple that has been built for sacrifice unto the Lord. You know, the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, bringing honor to God. God is worthy. He is worthy. You know, sometimes we think of people, we get in our mind of distinguished people. You know, and the reason they are distinguished is because there are other people that may be things that they have done, but it may also be, to a large degree, what people have decided about them. They have felt they were worthy of being honored. God is that in an awesome way, beyond our abilities, but we can serve Him to the best of our abilities. You know, and there's a little poem that has come to my mind in relation to what I've been thinking about for the message today. This brand new day is mine to spend exactly as I choose. Have you thought about that? Have you felt responsible about the choices that you are making today? Have you felt the responsibility that the Lord has placed on you to mark with real accomplishment or squander and misuse? To fill with love and cheerfulness our bitterness and pain. It is my choice to make this day a total loss or gain. Do you feel that? Do you feel that? It's a choice, a responsibility, but it is also a choice. The Lord created man with a choice. I'm always amazed. He created man. He put him in the garden there for His purpose and His plan. But then He allowed you and I to make that choice, whether we will or not. Are we concerned about a total loss or gain? Or are we not? If we are, we can agree with the poem as it goes further. So counsel and direct me, Lord, that when this day shall end, I may rejoice at work well done, be richer by a friend. And while I sleep, may angels pause before thy throne and tell that I have spent this day of mine not wastefully, but well. I mentioned speaking, you know, spending a lot of time, having a lot of things to say and reminiscing and things like that that could take a long time. And I'm not going to do that. But I have picked a choice that is spoken about in the scripture. It's mentioned 550 times. And it goes all the way from the second verse in Genesis 1 to the fifth to the last verse in Revelation 22. And now you might be thinking, what in the world are we in for now? This is a big subject. It's one word. The root word of it is one. Spirit. And then we find it in verse 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. The Spirit of God. That word Spirit is mentioned 550 times in the Bible, in the New, in the King James Version. 244 times in the Old Testament, 261 times in the New Testament. And as I mentioned, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And for a title, and just to continue with what I had in my mind, is we are brought to the point where we make a choice. Making our choice. Sometimes people say, well, I'm just neutral. It doesn't matter this way or that. What have you done when you say that? You've made a choice. You've taken a position. When we decide to be neutral, I don't know, I didn't study this out very much, but I think sometimes when we decide to be neutral, we have a great potential to be somewhat on the negative side. I'll leave that up for your, you can decide for yourself on that. But then as we move on through, I'm just going to do sort of a spotty address this subject of the Spirit, sort of briefly, I should say. But God, the Spirit of God, I asked someone yesterday, the Spirit of God, what did that look like? Anyone have any idea what the Spirit of God looked like? Don't hear anything. Okay. I don't know either. But they mentioned that you couldn't see it. I don't know. But I think, you know, Jesus said to Nicodemus there, he said, everyone that is born of the Spirit of God is as the wind. You can see the effects of it, but you don't know from whence it comes or from where it goes to. You know, I think that's the Spirit of God affects people. It will bring results. And we see what happens in Genesis 6, where it says there in the third verse, it says in the King James Version, it says, "My Spirit, the Lord said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also is flesh, yet in his days, yet his days shall be 120 years." The focus that I had in the German, it says, Sie wollen sich von meines Geistes nicht mehr straufen lassen. And what that means is they have refused to be disciplined, guided, and directed by my Spirit. They have chosen to not be that way. Isn't that illustrating a choice? Sie wollen. They don't want to. They don't want to be directed by my Spirit anymore. And I looked it up a little bit in one of the translations otherwise, and they would agree with that thought also. So there we have a choice. And I appreciated the devotional this morning of the talents. And I was just thinking, isn't that interesting? We are given a choice. And I was trying to decide here if we have anyone here that has less than 5 talents. They might be wondering what I'm saying here. I tend to always make application this way. The Lord gave us 5 senses. And what are they? Can you name those for me?
Hearing.
Hearing. Smelling and tasting. Sight,
touch,
yeah, feeling. I thought I heard feeling somewhere. Yes. Okay. He gave us those. What are we doing with them? Have we taken responsibility? Have we made it a choice of mine that I will use my eyes? I will use what do we smell for that's good for the kingdom of God? Might be a little challenging there. Well, I have to think. We appreciate, I mentioned praise. You know, a sweet-smelling savor to God is praise to Him. And when we can, you know, there's another verse in the Apostle Paul writes that we should, I think it's the Apostle Paul, where he says, we should consider one another to provoke it to love and good works. Isn't that a sweet smell? We're making an application there. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We can taste that of each other. We can encourage that in each other. We can make it a choice to also just simply be active. We can see the good in each other. We can see the good in someone else and practice that in our own lives. That's just some thoughts that I had. I appreciated that devotional and the challenge. All right, and there are many descriptions. You know, this is because of the Spirit of God moving in our lives, or if it's the opposite, if the opposite, we can read in Galatians 5, the works of the flesh. Those come forth out of, I wrote down a few things here, and we'll be reading some scripture yet here, but the Spirit, a couple of descriptions about the Spirit, or about the word Spirit. It's not always the good Spirit. You know, that's another thought. You know, we have an evil spirit. We have the Spirit of God. A couple descriptions here. Spirit of wisdom, we find in the Scripture. We find in the Scripture the Spirit of truth. We also can read, I didn't write this reference down, about the spirit of jealousy. We can read about unclean spirits. We can also read about the spirit of fear. God hasn't given us. That spirit of fear doesn't come from God. Perfect love casteth out fear. God is love. So the love of God casts out fear. God has given us, not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a strong mind. Did I quote that wrong? Don't think that strong mind doesn't sound right. Sound mind, thank you. Sound mind. The sound mind is strong. Nevertheless, so that God gives us power to have victory. How many of us at times just feel defeat in our lives? We feel defeat. And if we fear, we will experience defeat. Perfect love casts out fear. Now, I'm not trying to tell you to be out going out and being some strong, obstinate, thick-headed, stiff-necked person. That's not what I'm trying to say. But to be firmly grounded in the word of truth. We can be tried in whatever court you please. But if we are transparent with our lives and we provide things honest in the sight of all men, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, We can stand any court trial as far as the court of God. The court, you know, I might say, maybe I should term it the court that the devil tries at times to make us feel we aren't right with the Lord. I think we need to heed our conscience if we aren't right with the Lord. And I think if we are really honest with ourselves, we'll know that. There's another verse in Proverbs 16 where it speaks about a humble spirit. I think that's what King David had in the Sunday school lesson for today. He had a humble spirit. He did not exalt himself in a way that was displeasing to the Lord. He disobeyed the Lord. And maybe you could incorporate exalt there, I don't know. But better is it to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You know, I think most of us, if we're honest, we can easily The way of proud people can appeal to our carnal nature, is what I'd like to say. All right. Now, I don't know if I mentioned this one description concerning the spirit, a spirit, I should say. But we'll read about it in 1 Kings 22. I'd like to turn to there and read about that. Ahab, this is through the time of the kingdoms of Ahab is the king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. But Ahab had acquired Naboth's vineyard through the subtlety of his wife Jezebel. And I think just previous to this chapter 22, we read in verse 20, where Elijah had come and spoken to Ahab, and Ahab said, "O mine enemy, hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" That was the attitude that Ahab had concerning Elijah. Now, but he did. Ahab did humble himself, and it ends up in verse 29 in chapter 22 of 1 Kings. See, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's day will I bring evil upon his house. Now, the two kings were together. I don't know exactly how this was, why this came about, but in verse 5, Ahab had asked Jehoshaphat if he would go with him to battle, and then Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, "Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." He was concerned about what does the Lord think about this move. That's something for us to. That's a point for us to keep in mind in our day. Let's inquire. What does the Lord want? The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And I think that's the way for our sisters the same. They are ordered by the Lord. And the application I would like to make to that there is they are expected, they are in by approval of the Lord. They are voluntarily presented to the Lord and asked, "Should I take this step? And if I take this step, which direction should I be going?" That, in my mind, is an example of a humble spirit, not a proud spirit, arrogant, rebellious spirit. It's a humble spirit. It's willing to be taught. One of the main things that comes to my heart, to my mind at times, is concerning the heart of the people that I know, and especially our families, that their hearts would be open and willing to instruction, to receive instruction. That's how we find our way in life, to receive instruction. And this is what Jehoshaphat was concerned about. What does the Lord say concerning our thought? Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men. That would be about enough, wouldn't it? 400 prophets. And said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver into the hand of the king." And Jehoshaphat said, now this is interesting. Why did Jehoshaphat ask this question? He said, "Is there not a prophet of the Lord besides that we may inquire of him?" I think he felt there was something about the spirit of this thing that wasn't quite right. There was something not genuine about it. I think if we're really honest, we can identify with that. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man. I don't know if I can pronounce his name right here, but Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. And that's something. I hate him. And he explains why. For he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Isn't that refusing the Spirit of God? Refusing, describing a closed heart? Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on the robes in a void place, in the entrance of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. I don't know exactly how this all was. And Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, made him horns of iron and said, this was going on while they were waiting on this other man. Thus saith the Lord. That's what Zedekiah was saying here. With these shalt thou push the Syrians until thou have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. What was the king's response? He felt the lack of genuine response thereto. There was a spirit of something going on there, and they felt it. They couldn't see it, but they felt it. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Isn't that something? He understood that that was not what came from the Lord. How many times do I know that what I'm listening to in my mind in various other ways, you can fill in the blanks, is not really from the Lord? How do I respond to it? And then this prophet said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, every man, to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy no good concerning me but evil? See, I told you what would happen here. It wasn't any use. And then the prophet continues, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, this makes me think of Job, when the sons of maybe I should turn to that. They were gathered there together, and I think it was the sons of God were gathered together, and Satan was among them. They had a council there. See, there's things going on that we don't see. And I think we need to be aware of that. I'm not trying to scare someone or make you feel spooky. I'm just saying this is the way it is. We are our makeup. This may sound strange to you. But if you take yourself, what all you consist of, you're by yourself, you're more spiritual than you are physical. Does that raise any questions in your mind? What's going to last? Your soul and spirit, or your body, your physical body? So which is more important? What goes on about what has to do with your spirit, or what has to do with your body. We do take care of our body. I'm not trying to make light of that. I'm just saying our greatest concern should be the condition of our spirit. Where is it going? What is it doing? Okay, back to God, the Lord, and this gathering of his host. He was sitting on his throne, and the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, "Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?" And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner. They had various ideas there. I don't profess to really understand this, but this is what goes through my mind. There were various ideas here. We could do this, we could do that. But here's what actually caught the Lord's attention. And there came forth a spirit and said and stood before the Lord. This was a spirit. The Lord saw this spirit, and he came and he stood before the Lord. And said, "I will persuade him." And the Lord said unto him, "Wherewith? How are you going to do that? You tell me. And he said, "I will go forth and be a lying spirit. I will be a lying spirit, a false spirit in the mouth of all his prophets." This is a greater thing here than what I can wrap my mind around exactly how this all happened. But I think we can get enough of an understanding to let it speak to our hearts. And he said, "Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now therefore, the Lord hath put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these thy prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee." Now, if we remember, here were these 400 prophets. I don't know exactly how it was, but I imagine the king, one king here and one king here, and all these prophets out here, and over here is this one man all by himself. And they couldn't really get past the surface issue of what was going on here. They weren't able to see deep into that this was actually something that how can I explain this? I'm getting deeper into this thing than what I can really bring forth what I'd like. They weren't seeing it as God working. They were seeing it as you and you and you and you and you and you. They weren't bringing God into the picture and the purpose that he had for their lives. I think it works the same way today. Oftentimes, we do that. We get involved with the people that we see. We get involved with the circumstances. And we fail to remember there's a God in heaven that has a purpose. And I appreciated the thought that came in the Sunday school class that I was with, that, you know, there's more to it than what we see just on the surface. We're a part of a kingdom. Either we're a part of God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, or we are a part of the kingdom of the devil and his angels. We're making that choice. We're making that choice. If we decide to be neutral, I'm just not going to make a choice, we automatically fall by default into the wrong place. I think that's how we conclude that a neutral position is a negative position. All right. Now, what I was mentioning about focusing on the scene, focusing on the individual, focusing on the surface things here, we see that coming out in verse 24. But Zedekiah, you know, Zedekiah was the one that made these horns. He was the one that told him this is the way it's going to go. And he came over here and he just slapped this other prophet in the face. And he had a lot of support. He had 399 over here that would support him right there. How do you and I, we were challenged with the Anabaptist vision. What is your vision? What is my vision today? And it is my vision to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that a work is not in vain in the Lord? Or am I challenged by the spirit of fear? The spirit of fear. And I say, you know, if I take this position, I'm going to lose these friends. I'm going to lose those. And those over there might attack me. How do I feel? Is my confidence, is my heart filled with love? The love of God that is able to lovingly and faithfully, steadfastly maintain my relationship with God and come what may. The Apostle Paul speaks also that we should not be children in understanding, but in malice be ye children. I didn't look that verse up. But malice is something that we see taking place here. It strikes people. It fights. It doesn't endure. As the Apostle Peter writes, and he says, we are called to suffering. We're called to endure. We are not called to a life of pleasantries and a life of just ease and entertainment. We are called to suffer for the kingdom. A faithful soldier is not the one that seeks to be somewhere out back and let the others do the work. They're up there supporting, and they're doing their work. But Zedekiah asked the question, which way went the Spirit of God from me to speak to thee? In the German, we would take the question, how is it that the Spirit of God has gone from me to you? What was to tell them who had the Spirit of God? How were the kings supposed to determine there? I don't know, but the focus that I had was there was a spirit, there was something going on there that was real, more real than your physical body and mine. All right, so another encouragement in the as we think about this, the spirit that lives within us. We have our own spirit, and then we allow a spirit to join that spirit to either work wickedness or righteousness. In Malachi, we read in the second chapter of Malachi, in verse 15 and 16, it makes this statement, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. Be concerned about it. Don't go through life carelessly. Don't go through life complacently. Don't go through life. Be on fire for the Lord. Have a purpose in your life. Be active. An idle mind is, I was told right here in this church house when I was a young child, is the devil's work child. So let's be busy doing for the Lord what he has laid on our hearts. Let's not be ashamed. The Apostle Paul also said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. All of them that believe, the Jew first and also the Greek. There is no question. There was no question in his mind, I should say. All right. Take heed to your spirit. Now that's in the Old Testament. We take that from the Old Testament to take heed to our spirit. Now let's go to the New Testament in 1 John 4, I think it's the first verse. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. And I was sort of intrigued with the statement after that. He says, because there are many false prophets going out into the world. Going out into the world. And so that tells me that spirit was living in physical bodies. Now my mind goes to the evil spirit that was driven out of man, out of this house, this I call it a heart house. It was driven out of that heart house. And he was out by himself, and he didn't feel good. I think spirits want to live in something. They want to live in something. And your spirit, I would say, our character, our mind, I don't know exactly how to describe between soul and spirit. I'm not going to do that. But what I am thinking is we have our personal spirit, and it will agree with either the carnal. We will either have a carnal mind or we will have a spiritual mind. All right? The spirits don't like to be unclothed, the same way as you and I don't. They want something to be clothed with, and they're looking for something. Take the evil spirits legion that was driven out of that man, those demons that were driven out of that man where all the swine were. They said, can we go in the swine? We'd like to go somewhere. We'd like to be somewhere. One of our ministers at home, oftentimes when he prays, especially beginning at the beginning of a message, before the message, he will pray that the evil spirits will be out in the dry places where they belong. What do you think he's saying? They have no place in the child of God's heart. They have no place there. But this verse, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Those are people that have allowed themselves to be used by evil spirits, unclean spirits, lying spirits, and they become the work of the devil. You and I don't need to be that. We don't. We have a choice. This brand new day, every morning when we wake, our first thoughts should be, Lord, here I am. What is for me today? I'm a tool of yours. I have a choice to be that tool. Remember, we mentioned something about God creating man for him, but then he allows him to make the choice. That's your choice and mine every morning. And not just every morning, it is all day long. Every minute, every hour of the day. I would be glad to sing that song if someone would know that. But I don't have it by memory. But there's a song. Every minute, every hour of the day. You know, I am thine for service, Lord. That's not a neutral position. That's an active position. That is a positive direction. With promises. But you know, you and I oftentimes fail. We get our view about our circumstances. We get our vision on what's going on around us. It's like the Apostle Peter. He saw this big wave coming. And then what am I going to do? And let's not be discouraged. I don't want to give the impression that I always have got it right. Christ is there. Herr, hilf mir. Lord, help. And he's right there. He picked him up. You and I can do that too. We want to, because we are in a work for eternity. We are not in a work for tonight. We are not in a work for tomorrow or next week or next year. We're in a work for something beyond our imagination. Let's have our spirit where it needs to be. Second Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. That's not liberty to the flesh, but that's liberty to say no to the flesh. It's liberty to say no to our carnal nature. It's liberty to live for the Lord regardless what I endure, regardless of what I may face. It is liberty to be free from sin. It's liberty to choose to live for God. There's another verse in Numbers 27. I won't turn to it, but it's Moses at the time when he was needing someone to replace him to lead the children of Israel. And he makes this statement here. Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, choose a man. And God did. Did you consider God, the Lord, to be the God of your spirit, to have created and allowed you, when you breathed your first breath, you became a living soul, you inherited a spirit to choose? The Father of spirits is another term of God, that we choose the Father of spirits and live. That's our choice. We're allowed that choice. Now, I'd like to turn to a challenge that the apostles experienced in Jesus' time here on the earth in Luke 9, where Christ was heading, had his face set, I think, to go to Jerusalem, is what it says. Yes. Jesus mentioned in verse 50 in Luke 9, he says, He that is not against us is for us. And when it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. They did not receive him, because his face was as though he was going to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? Have you ever had that temptation? You just burn somebody up and eliminate them. Get them out of the way. There is that spirit. That spirit, we have the potential for that spirit. If I as much as have an attitude to work against someone, it may be a brother in the church, it may be someone else, a sister, whatever. If we entertain a thought of dislike, if we entertain a thought, an unloving, uncharitable thoughts, that's seed for a spirit like that. If we keep feeding on that, it grows. It just becomes more and more. And we get the urge of just, what? You know, if we keep on with that, we have the potential for hating to the place of doing as David did. Murder people and get them out of my way so I can move on with life. That's not the Spirit of God. That's not the Spirit of God. One more verse, or one more portion of Scripture I would like to read. I didn't actually finish here, where Jesus asked them. He turned and rebuked them, said, Know ye not what manner of spirit ye are of? We need to ask ourselves that question. What manner of a spirit? The German says, Welches Geist ist Kinder ihr seid? And what that is saying, you are children of a spirit that is not from God. You know, children are born from parents. You know, and that is saying to me, in my mind, is that when we entertain thoughts of hate and ill will, and things like that, the work of the flesh, we are actually seeking to be born of the wrong spirit. That may be applied a little differently, but I think you can get the point. We are entertaining something that will birth evil, unrighteousness, wickedness, and eventually death. All right, in 1 Peter 2, there's some verses I'd like to read there. An encouragement to each one of us. Mentioned malice earlier, to be children in malice. Here it starts in 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envious and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, sometimes we make the scripture a complicated thing for us to understand because of, we think it should be, I don't know exactly why, but we try to make it a little hard. make it a difficult thing. You really need to have an understanding to be able to understand what the will of God is. I don't believe that way. Because the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, he was concerned about the Corinthians. He said his prayer for them was that they would not be beguiled by Satan as Eve was in the Garden of Eden through his subtlety from the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. The simplicity in Christ Jesus is, you know, take responsibility for our sins, confess our sins, and live for the Lord, desiring the sincere milk of the Word. Now, we need to grow thereby. We need to be able to chew strong meat. We need to develop spiritual teeth, that we can have strong teeth, to, as the in the Hebrews we read, strong meat belong to them who are of full age, who have by reason of use, have their senses exercised. Isn't that the key? We have, oftentimes we fail to use our spiritual teeth to digest the strong meat. Living for the Lord, enduring faithfully, keeping on. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised. You know, we get these sensors. Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We need to. We need to have our senses exercised. Our spiritual being, what's of greater importance in your life and mine, that needs to be of a concern. We need to be active. That ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, I would like to, you may get tired of this, but the German rendering of this scripture here, it says, Bauet euch zum geistlichen Haus. That is, be built. Make yourselves available. Make yourselves useful to the Lord. Be built a spiritual house. It doesn't say you're already there. It's saying, do that. Come forth as someone willing to be a tool in the Lord's vineyard. That's a very brief time with the Spirit. And I guess my desire is that I can be, as the Apostle Paul thought about himself, and Apollos, he says, I have planted, Apollos has watered, what's the rest of it? God giveth the increase. May the Lord give you the increase as you go from here. May you be faithful. There's not more required but that a steward be faithful. I think Brother Sheldon mentioned something about these talents that these people were given. They were caretakers, not owners. Is that the word he used? I think so. Caretakers, not owners. Too many times I consider myself an owner. And the Apostle Paul makes that clear. Don't we understand that we don't even own ourselves? Whoa, I thought I do. I have the choice. Yeah, God has made you, but God has given you the choice. May you choose for the increase as you go from here. This time, let's kneel for prayer.